This morning, now into the Word, and we're going to start with Psalm 36:5, and actually, we're going to start in the Psalms, a series of Psalms. And I think as we read these Psalms, just the prevailing theme will come forward this morning. Psalm 36:5 says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens; your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." Psalm 89:1-2, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness shall establish the very heavens. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you." Psalm 89, "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail." Psalm 119, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides." And then finally, Psalm 37:3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Feed, I love that phrase, feed on his faithfulness. You know, the Apostle Peter exhorted pastors to feed the flock of God. And Paul told Timothy to preach the word. So one of the great things that you can do in feeding the flock of God and preaching the word is to feed on his faithfulness and minister about God's faithfulness. You know, as I was preparing this message this morning, you know, I was thinking right off the bat, okay, well, this is, I know exactly what God wants me to preach, that God is faithful, that God is faithful. And just as I was just putting that down there, God just began to stir in my heart. Isn't just God is faithful? The message this morning is God is faithful to you. Yes. God is faithful is not the message this morning. God is faithful to you is the message this morning. He is faithful to you. This isn't theory. This isn't out there. This isn't calculations and math. God is faithful to you. It's one thing to know God is faithful. It's another thing to know that God is faithful to you. So as we get into this morning, God's faithfulness, the faithfulness of God, we are going to really bring it down home to where we live today. And in my heart cry this morning is that that you'll have further insight and confidence and understanding in God's great faithfulness. Not only that he is faithful, but that he absolutely is faithful to you personally, that he loves you. So first of all, we're just going to start off, what is faithfulness? What is faithfulness? If you get into the original Hebrew, emunah, it means security, moral fidelity, stability, steady. All right? Faithfulness. It's that constant stability, steady, security, moral fidelity. It's just consistent, stable, faithful. God is faithful to you. God is stable and steady. Now, what I thought I'd do to kind of illustrate that is there are two proverbs that we can look at. We're going to contrast two proverbs back to back. We're going to take a look at unfaithfulness versus faithfulness. And I think sometimes you can see it, it'll kind of help describe this faithfulness. The first thing in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18, the scripture, let me go ahead and get there. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18, the proverb writer says, "There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four which I do not understand, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, and the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats, wipes her mouth, and says, I've done no wickedness." This is a picture of unfaithfulness. All right. One of those things, I don't know if you read some commentaries along these lines, is, you know, what, why, how is that the way? You know, I said, I didn't quite understand how you connect those dots. But the way that is those, these are things that there's no trail, you know, of an eagle in the air, a serpent on a rock, ship in the midst of the sea. You would never know it was there. You'd never know that eagle's there. You'd never know that that serpent was on the rock. And that's kind of the correlation. Adulterous woman, she eats, she wipes her mouth, removes the trail. I've done no wrong. There's kind of a cover of purity and innocence, but really, behind the scenes, it's a lie. It's not true. It's unfaithful. All right? Now, it's important to understand this side of it first, even before we get into faithfulness, because this is where the enemy is going to play on your mind about God. This is the way Satan has been accusing God to man since the garden. Has he really said? Can you really trust? Can you really go there? That's the unfaithfulness side. Here's the next, Proverbs 31. And a lot of us know this is the great Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman chapter. And the very first characteristic you'll notice of the virtuous wife, Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That is the number one defining characteristic, the first one above all, and it goes on to bullet point amazing talents and abilities. But the very number one quality is the fact that that she's faithful, that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. That's a picture of faithfulness, unfaithfulness versus faithfulness. What is it? I can get into some elaborate definitions about God is faithful. Faithfulness is this. The bottom line is your heart can trust safely in God. Your heart can totally trust safely in him. You know that he is going to do good and not evil all the days of your life. There is a likening, the scripture even gives further, comparing our covenant relationship with God to that of marriage. Paul talking to the Ephesians, he puts it this way. He says, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The interplay between marriage is shown as the same kind of great interplay that you have of relationship-wise between Christ and the church. You know, like marriage, you have a covenant relationship with God. We call it the New Testament. But what it is, it's a covenant. In marriage, you have a marriage covenant. And with God, you have a New Testament covenant relationship with him. What is it saying? He is faithful to his covenant. He is faithful. God is faithful to you. You can always know, depend, and count on the fact that God is absolutely faithful to you. And let's just kind of go, when you understand this, as far as kind of just laying the groundwork for faithfulness, scriptures like this, Luke 14:26, when you see where Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We looked last week, that word disciple does not mean child of God. It just simply means a pupil and a learner. You can be a child of God without ever growing up spiritually. But if you're going to begin to grow up in him, you're going to find some things. Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brother, sister, yes, his own self, he cannot be my disciple. Those who come to me cannot be my disciples. I love this. Good news. Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and themselves as well. There is something that's going on here. So many times our perception of the faithfulness of God is attributed toward our human experience and faithfulness with people. And what God wants us to know is there is a plane of faithfulness that transcends any human relationship you have. The fact is, we need to love God more than anyone. That's the first and greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Why is that? Because there is no one who loves you more than God. He loves you more than anyone or anything. He is totally faithful to you. He isn't just faithful. He is totally faithful to you. To you. He's not selectively faithful. He is faithful to you. He loves you. He's absolutely for you. And you can lead this right into Romans. Romans chapter 8. For whom he foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Again, this morning, this what is faithfulness? We just want to shake apart human faithfulness from God faithfulness. Don't let human unfaithfulness taint your perspective of God's faithfulness toward you. Man, if God is for you, who can be against you? God is faithful to you no matter who's been unfaithful to you. He stays faithful. He's absolutely faithful. Never, never changes. Not even a shadow of turning with him. This is the way Paul writes it to Timothy. He says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we give up on him, he does not give up, for there is no way he can be false to himself. This is really, really powerful. You know, if we're unfaithful, just continuing with our marriage allegory, if we have an affair on God, he will never have an affair on you. There are no revenge affairs in God. He is totally faithful to you, no matter what you've done. And a lot of times when we are unfaithful to God, when we do wrong things, we feel like we deserve it. We feel like we deserve for God to be unfaithful to us. But he won't be. If you're unfaithful to him 70 times 7, he's just going to lovingly be right there to receive you, to love you, forgive you, to take you back. You cannot provoke him into unfaithfulness. You can't even be mean to him, and he will just stay. Why? He can't deny himself. He can't violate love. He is love. It is important for you to know you are in relationship with someone who is absolutely, perfectly faithful. You can preach faith till you're blue in the face, but if you don't have this foundation and to realize the one that you are serving and the one that you're living for is completely faithful to you, totally. When I'm trusting God, I'm not putting my trust in him, I'm putting my trust in God. I'm putting my trust in the one who is totally faithful to me, who's never been unfaithful to me. God is perfectly, totally faithful. If we give up on him, he does not give up. I'll tell you, the enemy will accuse you all day long. Say, yep, God's given up. That's it. You promised that was the last time, and you blew it. You had a contractual agreement. It's broken. No. Again, Satan has been accusing God to man since the garden. He's the father of lies. He's a liar. God has not given up. I don't care how guilty your conscience is or how confused you may be toward God with your why God questions. It doesn't matter. Confusion, guilt, you can pile it on by the truckloads. And even though you might feel a certain way and you don't understand certain things, you can know one thing's for sure. God is currently, presently, actively faithful to you. He's doing, you know, if you were right here, and this is God, he is doing this. Loves you. Even though there are things you don't understand, even though you might be mad at him because there's things you don't understand, he is staying faithful to you. He is a safe place. There's one thing that God wants us to know and believe, that our heart can safely trust in him. Even when we don't know why sometimes. He loves us with that everlasting love. All that flowery language we just got done reading in Psalms, it's just really true. He loves us with an everlasting love. It reaches to the heavens. It extends to all generations. He is faithful to you. He is a safe place. No matter what people have done, you can't attribute it to God. Now, I've heard that a lot of times on Father's Day. You might kind of hear a Father's Day sermon. You had a hurtful or an abusive father, and so have a hard time accepting the fatherhood of God. It's just a natural thing, you know, where we can ascribe what we've experienced in a natural human relationship to that divine relationship. Man, by faith, we got to say it's just not true. God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter what anybody's done to you. He is still for you, and he's always, always, always been faithful to you every moment of your life. Always. There is an accuser that will say, yeah, but you got to realize, no, I choose to believe God is faithful to me. And he's always been faithful to me. His faithfulness does extend to the heavens and extends to Ed House. And it extends to everyone here. In fact, it extends so broadly that he's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to know that faithfulness and that love. God loves us. You know, when I think of love and I think of faithfulness, think of the passion, you know, I think of, you can't help but think of Green Bay Packer fans. They are the most loyal, dedicated. You know, I grew up in a Packer family during the 70s, during the Bart Starr era. I know firsthand the faithfulness of Packer fans. They've got that thing sold out for years. They're the only team that could go 0-16 and pack it out all 16 games. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. Not fair weather. I'm sorry. Oh, Chicago Cubs. Yes, that's right. Yes, my mother was a Chicago Cub fan too. I can identify with that. 100 years or plus. Oh, you know, it's faithfulness. You know, but that's the way it is. What causes it? Why do you do that? Because you just love those Packers. You love those Cubs, whatever it is. You know. I don't care. You might feel like you're going 0-16 with God. He's still packing out the stadium for you. This is the turnaround year. Here we go. The Pack is back. I heard it my whole life. Well, they are now. But I heard it my whole life growing up. And God is that way toward you. They're back. They're back. They're back. Why? He's faithful. He doesn't give up. Even if you've given up for years and turned your back on him and mad, he's just right there. Faithful every moment of every day. Faithful. Faithful to you. Faithful to you. Think of that prodigal son returning home. Gee, even the servants have it better than I've got it here. He just starts making a motion in that direction to where the father sees him and starts running to him. That's faithfulness. The father is faithful to you. If anybody has ever hurt you, the father has never been behind it, ever. Again, Satan will accuse. Satan's the accuser of their brethren. So sometimes somebody might not even hurt you, but Satan can accuse a person in such a way that it looks like they hurt you. You know, that's why we say we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Wherever the truth lies, you can know one thing. God has been completely faithful to you. Totally. Totally faithful. There's healing in his faithfulness. There is healing in that faithfulness. It's nice to know that regardless of who does what in terms of, you know, brother, sister, mother, father, dad, there's always a safe place, no matter who does what. There is somebody who loves you with an everlasting love. There is a safe place of faithfulness. There is somebody who has a perfect track record of faithfulness in your life. It's so strong, he can't deny himself. Again, you can never provoke him into getting in the flesh. You know how the way we are as human beings and our little games that we play, and you can't play that game with God. He's just going to stay in love with you. He is love. He's going to stay true. So don't let the way people hurt, or maybe people you know who've been hurt and different things like that, they can get that spirit off you. No. That's not my God. That's not my relationship with him. He's faithful. He's faithful to me. He absolutely loves me. He's absolutely for me. And he cannot deny himself. And he's always there for me. Praise God. What is faithfulness? I just like to sum up, you know, that, you know, when I just think of faithfulness, I just, you know, I love that what that proverb says, that your heart trusts safely in him. You know, we hear over and over, God loves you. God loves you. That's great. I believe that. God loves you. But what does that mean? What does that mean? It means God is faithful to you. He loves you. He's faithful to you. He's committed to you. It's not a feeling. It's not a goosebump. Thank God for the joy of the Lord and the things that we experience and feel. But that love is faithfulness. He is faithful. I'll tell you, you draw near to him, he draws near to you. He is faithful to respond. He is faithful in your life. We're going to go ahead and get into some of those areas specifically that he's faithful in. Number one, or continuing on, he's faithful in your trials. This can be an area where people lose their sense of God's faithfulness to them. trials. My goodness, if God was faithful to me, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this trial? Why do I have these anxieties? Why do I have these issues and problems? God is faithful in your trials. He's faithful to you when you're going through things. 1 Peter 4:19. It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Amplified. Therefore, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will must do right and commit their souls in charge as a deposit to the one who created them and will never fail them. You know, you're going to go through some things down here. You know, you're going to go through some things down here too as you're endeavoring to live for God. People are not going to always do right. People are not going to always respect and appreciate and understand your walk with the Lord. It's called persecution. In fact, it's one of those things that Jesus promised us. He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If Jesus couldn't say and do everything just right without ever drawing offense and persecution, you're not going to be able to say and do everything just right to never get persecuted either. You're just going to have to deal with some things. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's going to be some times when you're going to get some flack. You know, and that's not the time to look up and say, why, God, how could you? No, that's the time to commit your soul to him. Say, okay, Lord, that hurts emotionally, but I commit my soul to you. I love that. You're a faithful creator. You're there. You're faithful. You're still there. I mean, the apostles back in that early church in the book of Acts, I mean, they got rounded up for preaching the gospel, whipped, beaten, and they didn't go out with a chip on their shoulder and a victim complex. They went out worshiping God that they were worthy to be persecuted for the name of Christ. And they had a lot of power flowing back then, didn't they? You wonder if there's a connection. Not only to know the power of his resurrection, but to know the fellowship of his sufferings. You wonder sometime if there's a connection between the heart to know the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. I think when the church begins to partake in the fellowship of his sufferings and can do it with a joyful heart and commit their souls to him and not have a victim complex about it, I think we're going to see the power of God in some ways too in the church. No bitterness, but just the free spirit saying, God, use me. Have your way in my life. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God's faithful. God's faithful. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I love this scripture. I'll tell you what, I've quoted this scripture. This is the scripture you want to quote in the face of temptation. This is the scripture you want to quote when you feel like, this is too much. This is the scripture you want to quote. When your flesh is crying for something, situations, circumstances, no temptation has overtaken me except such as is common to man. What does that mean? Whatever you're going through in your test and trial, billions have gone through it before you. It is not unique to you. Different faces, names, places, circumstances, but that same work of the flesh, demonic power, principality, same old, same old. Satan has no new tricks up his sleeves. All he's got to work with is the flesh. And so he's going to come at you from, you know, different angles, but it's common to man. But God is faithful. Isn't that? I just love that. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, he is faithful. This is where you got to count him. He's faithful. That means I'm going through something. I'm feeling something. His faithfulness is right smack in the middle of the test. It can feel like he's not even anywhere near, but his faithfulness is right smack in the middle of it. It's going to be by faith. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. In the name of Jesus, I resist. In the name of Jesus, I'm sorry, Father. I confess that. I receive forgiveness and cleansing. Going on. In the middle of it, he is faithful. Hebrews puts it this way, Hebrews 2:17. This is such a beautiful picture, talking about Jesus. It says, so it is evident that it was essential that he, Jesus, be made like his brethren in every respect in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself, Jesus, in his humanity, has suffered being tempted, tested, tried, He is able immediately to run to the cry of, assist, relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. There is a heart cry in the middle of temptation that Jesus runs to. When you're here and you're just doing the math and you're saying, oh, this is too much for me, you forgot to do one thing yet. You got to cry. You got to give him something to run to. You got to give him the opportunity to assist and relieve you in the middle of that temptation. In the middle of it. There is an art of crying out. I think we can sometimes lose this. There's a crying out to God. God, help me. My mind is going places it shouldn't go. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Yes, I know I should cast down imaginations. Yes, I know I need to bring into captivity the word of God. Yes, I know I can quote the word of God. But there's also a cry of, God, help me. Give me strength, Lord. Help me be steady. You're steady. You're faithful. You're true. Help me. Help me. There's a cry that God runs to when we're going through those times, we're going through those things. And here's, to me, this is the beautiful picture of somebody who did this in the middle of test and trial, Jesus. It says, for you were called, he said, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. And what I like to think of Christ here before Herod. And he's, you know, he's mocked, he's beaten. I mean, he is in one of those situations where it looks like there's just no way out, there's no recourse, there's nothing to, you know, he's just, you talk about somebody who's really been truly beat up and taken advantage of, betrayed by his disciple, and then just mocked and beaten, all this stuff. And he's standing before Pilate. And it says this, for to you, this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, here's that testing, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. That's a natural inclination. Yeah, I'm going to do this. He did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Ah, you know, before you do that, before you've got the spiritual guts to do that in the middle of your situation, you got to believe something about God. You got to believe he's faithful. Somebody who does that isn't blaming God for everything that just happened to him. Somebody who's in the middle of all the suffering and the pain and the agony and the mocking, the beating, still sees the Father as a safe place. And you're committing yourself to him who judges rightly. God is faithful in your trials. He is a safe place for you. He is the one that you can cry out to and find relief and assistance. I love that. He is able immediately to run to the cry of. And that's what he does for us in our trials. The psalmist puts it this way. It says, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer from the ends of the earth. I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. His faithfulness is that rock that is higher than I. So I come before him and I say, well, praise God. Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need your strength. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but there's one thing I still believe. You love me, and you're for me, and you're faithful to me right now. I don't have to let anything that's going on around me cause me to doubt and question God's faithfulness to me. Perfectly faithful to you in the middle of every storm. And again, this is where the enemy jumps on your shoulder and says, you got a faithful God, what about this, this, this? What do you do when you don't have the answers to those accusations? You do what Jesus did. You commit yourself to him who judges righteously. Father, I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I know you know, and I trust you, and I look to you. Praise God. And I'll tell you, there is a safe place. And when you do that, what does he do? He runs to your cry. There's an assistance and a relief. And have you ever had that? Where you're just, you know, you're in turmoil. You just take time. You go into prayer. You begin to pray about it. You lift things up. You come out of a place of prayer. You don't have the answer, but you got something. You got a peace that passes your understanding, that keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Just letting that request be made known to God. There is relief, but he has got to be a faithful place that you're willing to go to. Because as soon as the enemy can accuse you that God is your problem, then you can't go to get the relief and the assistance that you need, because it is It is in God. No matter what you're going through trials, it is not God who's against you. Another great faithfulness scripture, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. God does not play hard to get with his mercy. He'll never give you the silent treatment at all when it comes to his mercy. But you got to understand the basis for the forgiveness is his faithfulness, not feelings. If I'm probing for a feeling to know that God forgave me, you're going to be chasing your tail for a long time. But when you just take it by faith, know the one who's perfectly, presently, absolutely faithful to me is faithful. When I acknowledge my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from that unrighteousness and restore fellowship with him again and go forward by faith. He's faithful. He's faithful. Not 9 times out of 10. 10 times out of 10. He's perfectly, perfectly faithful to be establishing that with God. And finally, I love this scripture. It says in Hebrews 4:13, it simply says, all things are naked and open before him. It says there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, this is such a powerful scripture when it comes to your trials. Because when you're going through trials, there's stuff you don't know. There's stuff you don't understand. There's things that are frustrating to you. But the important thing to understand is the one that you're in this amazing, perfect faithfulness relationship with, he knows everything you don't know. That situation, that person, that issue, even though you can't see everything about it, he sees everything perfectly clear. He knows it inside and out. And all I have to do is I just look unto him. Say, okay, Lord, I'm committing it to you. Show me. Reveal to me. Show me what I need to know, Father God. But I'm committing my cause. See, I'm not just kidding me. I'm committing my cause to the one who knows everything completely and perfectly. So I'm saying, okay, Father, here we go. You know it all. You know everything that I need to know. And so I'm committing it to you. You show me what I need to know. All things, I love that. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He sees it. The one you're in this perfect faithfulness relationship with sees everything and knows everything that you need to know. And put your trust in him. Praise God. Finally, he's faithful to his promises for you. All right? I love the scripture of 2 Corinthians here. It says that all the promises of God in him are yes, in him amen, to the glory of God through us. And 2 Peter goes on to say, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. One of the ways that we begin to demonstrate our faithfulness to God and prove his faithfulness to us is through the promises of God. I remember the first time I heard about the promises of God and God's promises, it didn't quite register the first time I heard. It just didn't resonate right. Kind of like God's promises to me, like God owes me something. Or like God, you know, come on, like God's my little bellhop and I'm making him do my bidding and to do what I want to do. No, that's not it at all. It's not about Ed House coming up with something, a to-do list for God at all. It's not it. No, it's about God and his word giving us promises, which are really the terms of the covenant. Terms of this new covenant that he put in there under the inspiration of his spirit. Men simply wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But these promises came from the heart of God to us. These are opportunities for us to show that we trust him, that we believe in his faithfulness to us, and that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to walk by faith with a total trust in his faithfulness to you. You can't separate faith from faithfulness. They go hand in hand. And walking by faith is walking by the word. But his word, he has put these precious promises in the word that through these promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature. We can walk in a higher plane in God because he put them there for us to walk in. I love the story of Abraham and Sarah. The Bible talks about, you know, in the Great Hall of Fame, Great Hall of Faith chapter, Hebrews 11:11 says, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised." Oh, that's quite a because, isn't it? Because she judged him faithful. They got the promise when Abraham was 74, 75. The promise came to pass when he was about 100. It's 25 years from the time they got the promise to the time little baby Isaac was born. But there was an Ishmael in there too, wasn't there? She didn't start out fully persuaded. She didn't start out judging him faithful, did she? Or Abraham. They tried that word. They were standing on that word. And after so many years, they thought, well, let's get creative here. We're not going to say that God is wrong, but he must have some mystical plan B here that we got to kind of figure out and come up with. And they did it. And we know that that was not God's plan. I mean, Abraham was talking with the Lord in the tent, and Abraham was reasoning his way, you know. Sarah was thinking, well, Hagar, that's the way. Abraham was thinking, well, you know, my relative, you know, he's going to be the one. You were kind of talking about me in a figurehead way, but you're really referring to him. And that's when God took him by the hand, so to speak, and took him out and said, look up at the stars, Abraham. This is coming from your body. Can you count them? That's going to be the seed. There was a process, wasn't there, that Abraham and Sarah went through as they began to count him faithful. And as they counted him faithful, boy, things happened. It's important to know that the concepts of promises is there, all right? And don't kind of look at it as all or nothing. I'm either a promised person who walks by faith or I don't believe. You're going to grow up spiritually. You're going to walk in the promises of God. You're going to learn things, and you're going to walk and grow and develop. There are stuff that I know about the things of God and the promises of God today that I've known were true for 20, 30 years, but I got more revelation, I got more insight simply because I'm walking in it, and I've got a lot of confidence in some of those things. I've judged God faithful in some areas. Absolutely. He is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. There's just no doubt. I don't wonder if he's having a good day or a bad day. Absolutely, it's true. I know that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's a promise of God. I know that when I set my mind on things above, it's life and peace. I've gotten strong in some things. I've judged him, but I've went through some valleys in getting there. I've had some Ishmaels of my own that I've had along the way as I'm growing up and walking by faith. You need to realize that God is faithful to his promises for you, and that as you're walking and as you're coming across these promises and you're wondering, I'm going to step out, the broader context before you ever step out on a promise of God is that God is faithful to you. He is faithful to you. That should just be so easy. Well, you know, why wasn't it just so easy for Sarah? You know, it took a while. It took a while for her to believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You are going to get your mind stayed on the word of God. You're going to believe some things. I love the Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand on the path of the sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but he delights in the law of the Lord day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted. That sounds like steady, secure, stable. And that comes from us meditating and getting in this word and letting it get on the inside of us. There is a place in God where you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But don't be discouraged just because you haven't had a prayer get answered or something didn't happen the way you thought it should. Keep going. Keep growing. Get back up. Go on. He is faithful. But you've got to judge him faithful. Nobody can judge God faithful for you except you. I can judge him faithful for me, but that does you no good. There comes a point in your life when you have to judge God faithful to you. And when you do, then those promises, you're going to put your heart on the line and begin to walk by faith in some of those promises of God. Praise God. Confidence that we have in him is that if we ask anything according to his will, his word, he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And that's the place that we just want to get to and walk in. It's great to believe that God is faithful, but I need to believe that he's faithful to me. And that's great to believe that he's faithful to me, but I need to believe that he's faithful to me so that I pray, so that I stand on the promises of God, so that I walk by faith and not by sight. But if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to know that you are walking by faith with a faithful God who's 100% totally committed to you. God is faithful to you. What is faithfulness? It's our heart trusting safely in him. He's faithful in your trials. He's the one who's going to run to and assist and relieve the cry of your heart. He's the one who is faithful to not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. Why are you able to do so much? Because you are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you've got to call upon him so that he can strengthen you, so that you can overcome. There are going to be those why God times, why God moments in all of our lives. Abraham and Sarah had them. And the Apostle Paul said, oh, Lord, you know, remove this. What did you say? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Praise God. There are going to be those inflection points where you're just going to look up and cry out. But it does not change God's faithfulness to you one bit. He is completely and totally faithful. He is the only perfectly safe place there is. And that is why we can love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. He loves us more than anyone. He is faithful to us. Praise God. And just close. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. You change not. Your compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and we just feed on your faithfulness this morning. We're just feeding on it. We are feeding on the fact that you are faithful, faithful, faithful to us. No matter what anybody has done to us, no matter what kind of hurts we might have felt or seen or heard about or whatever, you are faithful. You are stable, true, sure, steady. Oh, there's nothing we can do that could ever cause you to be unfaithful to us. It would be impossible. You're just faithful to us, and you will stay faithful to us. Father, I just pray that truth, oh, would just sink deep down in our hearts, that we just get the revelation that the games we play with people, we can't play those games with you. You just love us too much. You won't play those games. You won't respond to da-da-da-da. You absolutely love us. You're for us. You can't deny yourself. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Go ahead and make this your confession of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, you are faithful. You are faithful to me. You have always been faithful to me. When I've been unfaithful to you, you've stayed faithful to me. No variableness, not a shadow of turning, solid faithfulness. You love me. I love you. Help me in the midst of my trials, not to blame you, but to look to you, to cry to you, so you can come to me and strengthen me to do all things and have victory. You always cause me to triumph through that strength in Christ Jesus. No matter what Satan says about you to me, you are not my problem. You are my answer. You've always been. Even though I know in part, I don't understand it all. By faith, I believe and know You are for me. You're the one who predestined me and called me and prepared me for glory. You are for me. I take you at your word. Your promises are good. Help me to count you faithful and walk by faith in your promises. Lord Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say,